You've just joined the Prepper Broadcasting Network, where we promote self-reliance and independence. The views and opinions expressed are strictly those of the host or their guests. Visit us in the interactive chat room at PrepperBroadcasting.com.
Open your eyes to the events that the mainstream media conceals in plain sight. A place where truth is stranger than fiction. Where the world around you becomes astonishing, unbelievable, surreal. So sit back with a steamy bowl of imitation cheese-flavored popcorn and prepare to enter the realm of certifiable insanity. You've opened the door to the surreal news.
And heidi ho out there on the Prepper Broadcasting Network. Glad you all stopped by tonight. If you're listening over on Blog Talk Radio, be sure to come on over to PrepperBroadcasting.com. The chat room here is where all the action is. Don't miss my show on Wednesday. I'm going to have the YouTuber by the name of Morning Mayan on the show. She's extensively studied the Mayan culture and, yeah, the Mayan calendar. So we should have a great discussion, and she might open your eyes to some new possibilities while we're at it. Well, Mrs. Goat Hollow gave me a whole bunch of stuff last week, said that the show was about the driest thing she ever heard, so I think we're going to add a little bit of analytics to it tonight, a little bit of opinion. We'll see how that goes, and I hope you folks enjoy it. I thought I'd start out with a interesting article out of WND.com. It came out last Sunday. It came out today. I saw Sunday up there. Judge whacks Obama in eligibility case. Now, this is an interesting deal. A Georgia judge has refused a demand from Barack Obama to quash a subpoena. Apparently, Obama's been subpoenaed to court to appear at a series of administrative hearings January 26th. At which residents of the state are challenging, as allowed under a state law, his name on the 2012 presidential ballot. It goes on to say, talk about how Obama outlined a defense strategy for a number of state-level challenges to his candidacy in 2012. Which argue that states have nothing to do with the eligibility of presidential candidates. Presidential electors in Congress, not the state of Georgia, hold the constitutional responsibility for determining the qualifications of presidential candidates, Obama's lawyer argued in a motion to quash the subpoena for him to appear at the hearings in Atlanta. The election of President Obama by the presidential electors confirmed by Congress makes the documents and testimony sought by plaintiff irrelevant, the lawyer said. However, folks, Judge Michael M. Malahi, I think that's how you pronounce it, however, took a different view. Defendant argues that if enforced, the subpoena requires him to interrupt duties as president day of the United States. to attend a hearing in Atlanta, Georgia. However, the defendant failed to provide the legal authority to support his motion to quash the subpoena to attend. Defendant's motion suggests that no president should be compelled to attend a court hearing. This may be correct, but defendant has failed to enlighten the court with any legal authority. Apparently, the court wants to see the real birth certificate, huh? Anyhow, I thought that might be a interesting article for y'all. Something that you might enjoy. We'll see how that goes. It'd be interesting if several states throw him off the ballot next November. Let's turn our attention to Iran for a little while, because things have really kind of been heating up. I reported on my YouTube channel a week or two ago that a second U.S. carrier strike force had entered the Arabian Sea near the Straits of Hormuz, which was the, I can't remember which one was already there. The two were the USS Stennis and the USS Vincent, and there's also a large battle group attached to a marine landing amphibious landing ship, by the way, that's cruising around out there. Well, a third carrier task force arrived at the Straits of Hormuz this week, the USS Lincoln. Now, this article is out of Zero Hedge, and apparently, let me see if I can read this. The latest news is that the duo of aircraft carriers on location was reported last week, the Stennis and the Vincent, has become a trio with the arrival of the USS Lincoln, however, if only briefly. According to the U.S. Navy's website, the CVN-74 Stennis has left the 5th Fleet, is now heading back on its way home to the 7th Fleet. But, this is the interesting part, folks. This is somewhat contradictory with the following picture, and it's posted right here on Zero Hedge, that got posted on the Facebook profile of the CVN-72 Abraham Lincoln. Yeah, Facebook, right? Which vividly shows the Stennis and the Lincoln side by side as of, that says this morning, that was 19th, so what would that have been? Thursday, something like that. So, obviously, the Stennis didn't head back home. So, what's going on? Three carrier battle groups. And, I mean, those things usually travel with 12 or 14 other ships, missile frigates and everything, destroyers, a couple of submarines, and a marine amphibious landing group, all there at the Straits of Hormuz. Things are getting a little tough out there. Also, regarding Iran, this one came out 2 days ago. The European Union on Friday moved closer to imposing tough sanctions on Iran. This is out of the New York Times, no less. The European Union moved closer to imposing a phased oil embargo on Iran in some form of narrow sanctions against transactions with Iran's central bank. Officials hope to announce the final plan at a meeting of foreign ministers in Brussels on Monday, blah, blah, blah. Senior French officials are concerned that these measures, even in combination with sanctions on financial transactions with Iran announced by Washington, will not be strong enough to push the Iranian government into serious substantive negotiations on its nuclear program. I think they're backing Iran into a box that's not going to be a good end to the situation. We know that, here's an article out of the Washington Post this week, too, that has to do with these sanctions. The Iranian currency dropped by 11%, hitting a new record against the dollar. This was published the 21st by the Associated Press. Iran's national currency fell by 11% Saturday, amid the government, that would have been the last Saturday, folks, government's refusal to sign off on a move to raise bank interest rates. Fars news agency said the country's currency, the rial, is trading at nearly 20,000 rial to one U.S. dollar. So the sanctions are having an effect on the economy over there, making things tougher on them, and again, put them into that box. The currency came under heavy pressure after the new U.S. sanctions targeting Iran's central bank and oil industry were approved. Shortly after President Barack Obama signed the sanctions into law, the rial lost 13% of its value relative to the dollar. Iran's trying to find every way they can out. Bloomberg article on the 22nd, they're seeking yen, Japanese yen, as payments from India for oil amid sanctions. Iran has asked India to pay for oil partly in yen as the two nations seek an agreement on how to maintain trade among tightening global sanctions, according to three people with knowledge of the matter. Talks with Iran last week, India proposed to pay its second biggest oil supplier. So Iran is India's second biggest oil supplier in rupees through a bank account with South Asian nation. Said the people declined to be identified because the information is confidential. Iranian officials sought partial payment in yen because they're concerned what may not get sufficient value from the rupee, which isn't fully convertible, according to the people. Here's an interesting little bit. The nations have struggled to preserve the $9.5 billion in annual crude trade after the Bank of India dismantled a mechanism to use to settle payments in euros and dollars in December 2010. So, yeah, and we've already heard, of course, this is old news, and I suppose I could have gone and looked it up for you, but Iran sells a lot of oil to China, and that's being traded in the Chinese currency. And the Chinese are moving away from the dollar every way they can. India and Japan also this week signed an agreement to do some trade in currencies other than the dollar. So these countries are starting to move away from the dollar, folks. If this gets to a certain point, Katie bar the door, I think. Let's see, where are we at? Okay, let's look at Iraq for a second, because, you know, supposedly we're out of Iraq, but if you looked at, if you listened carefully to the mainstream media, the government announcements, all combat troops have been moved out of Iraq. Of course, that depends upon your t- that depends on your, definition of combat troops. If you take a combat trooper, send him a set of orders and say, well, you're security now. Well, he's no longer a combat troop, is he? Turns out there are 40,000 U.S. troops still in Iraq. However, things are already beginning to unravel. Let me just look here and find the article again. This is out of Breitbart News Agency. Iraq falling back into authoritarianism. Iraq is falling back into authoritarianism and headed towards becoming a police state, despite U.S. claims that it helped establish democracy in the country, the Human Rights Watch said on Sunday. The criticism from the New York-based HRW comes less than a year after 1,000 Iraqis took to the streets nationwide to criticize the government for poor services. Iraq cracked down harshly during the 2011 on freedom of expression and assembly by intimidating, beating, and detaining activists, demonstrators, and journalists. And the article goes on to talk about Iraq remains one of the most dangerous places in the world for journalists, and women's rights remain poor. Discovery of a secret prison last February run by forces controlled by the prime minister, same troops who ran Camp Honor, another facility where detainees were tortured. It'll be interesting to watch this unfold and see how the Iraqi government handles things and whether they really do have a true democracy as the U.S. government says. Let's look at human rights in the U.S. for a few minutes. I know you're all quite aware that the two bills, SOPA and PIPA, kind of died this week, and I don't think they're completely dead. They'll be back in different versions coming to a Congress near you, right? But we all know that the NDAA was passed, and it contains that infamous clause that allows Obama to have the military scoop up anybody they want for indefinite detention. Anyhow, the HumanRightsExaminer.com has an article from this week, top rights defender suing Obama over NDAA fascism. Friday, attorneys Carl J. Meyer and Bruce I. Afrin filed a complaint in the Southern U.S. District Court in New York City on behalf of top American human rights defender Chris Hedges as plaintiff against Barack Obama and Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta to challenge the legality of the authorization for use of military force in the latest National Defense Authorization Act, NDAA 2012. The Russian Foreign Ministry this weekend also condemned the NDAA's indefinite detention. Hedges explained his true legal action Monday on Truth Dig. While my battle may be chaotic, in other words, like Don Quixote, is one that has to be fought if we are to have any hope pulling the country back from corporate fascism. A Rhode Island legislator seems to feel the same way. he's rebelling against NDAA, and on the same day that Chris Hedges filed a lawsuit for Obama signing the NDAA into law on December 31st, Representative Daniel P. Gordon has jumped into action to lead his state away from the dangers of NDAA. Gordon has drafted a resolution proposing that Rhode Island legislators adopt to exempt citizens in his state from the new law, saying that Americans should be, quote-unquote, terrified of what the NDAA allows. His drafted resolution to express his opposition to the NDAA 2012 that suspended habeas corpus and sinful liberties and a call for the state to declare Rhode Islanders exempt from the federal law. I wonder if that'll fly past the U.S. Supreme Court. We'll see how that goes. Here's an article on the really weird front, or maybe out-of-line government front, whichever you might choose, huh? See, it seems that Washington, D.C. has passed a law, or ordinance, I imagine. Let me see if I can get some text here for you. Anyhow, requiring pest control agencies and personnel not to kill rats. They must be on the endangered species list there. I don't know. Wildlife Protection Act of 2010. It's crazier than fiction because it requires that rats and other vermin not be killed but captured, preferably in families. No glue or snap traps can be utilized. The rodents must be relocated from where they are captured. Well, here's the really bizarre twist. Virginia is taking steps to make sure that rats don't get dumped across the Potomac River into Virginia. I guess they don't need D.C.'s outcasts. You remember, we'll switch up a little bit here. You remember, of course, foreclosure gate and the robo-signers and all of that. I argued myself a number of times on some YouTube videos that I posted that the issue really wasn't about, deadbeats not paying their mortgage as much as it was the banks or wholesale perjuring themselves in court and committing fraud. To date, no big bank CEOs or vice presidents or anything have even been indicted over this thing. They were perjuring themselves, 4,000 or 5,000 times a month in even certain counties. One county actually sued some of the big banks, and they said, look, because you weren't transferring the mortgages the way you should have been and weren't paying the fees to the county assessor's offices to make those filings, they sued for lost revenue, one county in, I think it was New Hampshire, for $10 million from one county. And this all has to do with MERS, the Mortgage Electronic System that the bank set up that was actually illegal in a number of states. But like I say, nobody's been indicted. Well, here comes some news out, you know, how many months later. Top justice officials linked to mortgage banks. Well, now we know why nobody's been indicted, right? U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder and Lanny Brewer, head of the Justice Department's Criminal Division, were partners for years at a Washington law firm that represented the who's who of big banks and other companies at the center of the alleged foreclosure fraud, a writer's inquiry shows. It just goes round and round. The more you dig into this stuff, folks, the worse it seems. It truly is a surreal world. All the while, American Idol lost people this week in their premiere. They had a ratings drop, but they still had 21.9 million viewers. This is from Inside TV. Well, G-Man wanted me to at least maybe close out with another article out of Reuters this week. This came out actually yesterday. Subculture of Americans prepares for civilization's collapse. When Patty Tegeler looks out the window of her home overlooking the Appalachian Mountains in southwestern Virginia, she sees trouble on the horizon. In an instant, anything can happen, she told Reuters, and I firmly believe that you have to be prepared. Tegeler, T-E-G-E-L-E-R is her name, is among a growing subculture of Americans who refer to themselves informally as, get this folks, preppers. Some are driven by the fear of imminent societal collapse. Others are worried about terrorism, and many have a vague concern that an escalating series of natural disasters is leading to some type of environmental cataclysm. They're following in the footsteps of hippies in the 1960s. Well, you gotta remember, this is writers writing this stuff. Some guy named Jim Forsythe, who set up communes to separate themselves from what they saw as a materialistic society, and the survivalists in the 1990s who were hoping to escape the dictates of what they perceived as an increasingly secular and oppressive government. Well, yeah, that's still happening, isn't it? Preppers, though, are worried about no government. Tegeler, who's 57, has turned her home in rural Virginia into a survival center, complete with a large generator, portable heaters, water tanks, and, oh my God, a 2-year supply of freeze-dried food that her sister gave her as a birthday present. She says that in case of emergency, she could survive indefinitely in her home. And she thinks that emergency could come soon. Well, this article goes on, and it's actually a pretty interesting article. See if maybe you can Google it up. Subculture of Americans prepares for civilization's collapse. See, it came out yesterday, so you can send things down that way. But it's actually not a bad article. It kind of puts preppers in a good light. So, yeah. It's kind of interesting to read. It goes on to talk about, James Wesley Rawls, the guy that wrote how to survive the end of the world as we know it, which is also known as, quote, the Prepper's Bible. We could see a cascade of higher interest rates, margin calls, stock market collapses, bank runs, currency reevaluations, mass street protests, and riots, he told writers. The worst case end result would be a third world war, mass inflation, currency collapses, and long-term power grid failures. Yeah. I kind of agree with some of that. But anyhow, it's nice to see our community starting to get a little good, little bit of interesting press that's not entirely in a horrible light. Wait a minute, Desert Dweller says 52-year-old hippies. I'm kind of an old hippie, and I'm in my mid-50s, so, yeah. Watch where you're treading, huh? I want to thank you all for joining tonight. I know it all seems a little short. We're trying to make this show right around a 30-minute show, so my cell phone doesn't burn up. I've got a real bad sinus infection tonight, too, so... So I'm a little gravelly in the voice, but I want to thank you folks for showing up, and please do come back next week, and we'll try to dig up some more interesting news for you. Remember, if we plan and prepare and think outside the box, yeah, we'll get through this. Night all.
You're about to enter a different world, a place where we open your eyes to the events that the mainstream media conceals in plain sight. Today's broadcast has come to you through the courtesy of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. See our hosts, show schedules, archive programs, and more at PrepperBroadcasting.com. Thanks for listening.